between $4 and $5 million worth of corn on the ground. NTV reports that more than a million bushels of corn formed a mountainous pile so high it was noticeable from about half a mile away on Highway 136. More details at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Listen, guess what today is?
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. Good morning. It is 5.5 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock. 530-605-4567 is our phone number. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning, everybody. And, yeah, that was Glenn Campbell. Died 81 years old. And
remember the TV show?
Oh, gosh, yeah. You know what? And one of the two major concerts I went to was Glenn Campbell when I lived in Nashville. It was, it was right at the height of his glory back then. Alzheimer's, 81, had his last album called Adios, or Goodbye, something like that. And but one of his last songs was nominated for an Academy Award from one of the movies there. So, but he, I think he was well thought of, well respected in the industry. So what's the weather look like today, buddy?
Well, as we check out, move into our weather report, a high near 102, and that's going to be the story throughout the week under mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies. A little bit more on the humid side than we have had, but the temperatures are somewhat lower. Lower night lows right around the 70-degree mark, and that is going to be the case throughout this week. Currently in Reading, we are at about 72 degrees. Shasta Lake remains 24 feet from the top of the dam. This brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
A locally owned business, a veteran-owned business out of Anderson that give discounts to seniors and veterans. Chuck and Judy Kinney have had that business, and they do just a wonderful job. Give them a call, 365-3793. We certainly appreciate their support here at KCNR. Hey, we don't usually do this. We had a walk-in guest. And Benjamin, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, now Benjamin's been on here before, and I got to be a little more forceful here, Benjamin. You've got to get out so we can hear you. He is the gentleman behind a petition for signatures to get flights from L.A. to here, and hopefully they return. So round trips from L.A. here. And you're doing it by trying to get signatures, and you need how many? Well, you want probably hundreds of thousands, but you want to show that people are serious about this, right?
Yes, the airport manager has said 10,000 would be ideal.
10,000, okay. 10,000 signatures. And so how are you getting these signatures?
I'm posting on, like, Facebook pages, like 530 Needs, Web Life Needs, Reading Needs.
Okay.
Bethel Classifieds. And that's basically how I'm getting the word out. And eventually I'm hoping to go back to, like, KRCR Action News.
Uh-huh. So, be on there again?
But I'm going to wait until I get to, like, closer to 2,000 or so we have
How
more.
Many do you have now? You have, like, 1,700 or something?
1,632. We should climb up to 1,700 by the end of the day.
Okay. Now, have you thought about standing in front of, like, Trader Joe's?
Not really.
Oh, why?
Just what a busy schedule and everything.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe you could get some of your friends and then go, where do you hang out at? You know, have you been over at you go to Bethel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you should take your petition over there.
You got easily get 10,000 like out of that.
You got 10,000 signatures right there, don't you?
Yeah, but I have to be careful because the papers could spread things and there won't be such good feedback.
Oh, really? So, oh, because, yeah. Well, Bethel's already put like a, I thought Bethel's already like put in like $1 million, in, or not a million, but a couple hundred thousand into the fund there that they're going to pay $1 million to the, you know, the airline that comes in from L.A.
Well, I mean, heard about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, you know what, if you're looking for signatures, I'd go where there's people. So I would go over, do you work 7 days a week? On
five.
Saturday morning. Saturday morning, you get over there then and you get in front of, what's busy? Costco. Of course, I don't know if you can get petition signed at Costco.
But they, it can be problematic because it's just a huge crowd. But I would certainly suggest you interface with some of the folks over there at the school.
Yep, and then and other places, and you could probably pull. You could get your 3,000 or 4,000 signatures, and so and do you have your own little web page that you can just do?
Yeah, it's actually if you go to change.org, it's getting direct flights from Redding, California, to LAX and back.
Okay, what was the name of the page again?
Change.org.
Okay.
Or you can go to the Facebook page.
Or your Facebook page.
Getting direct flights from Redding, California to L.A. and back. And you'll see a yellow map with a lot of red lines flying out of L.A.
You need to send me a link on that. Okay. Send me a link, and I'll tell you why, because I'll share it out. And between Linda and I, we got like, I don't know, 4,000 people that
we know. That'd be
great. That are friends of ours. Yeah, you know, I'm not sure I've got that many friends. Bob, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think I've got 2,000 friends? 2,172 friends? Do you think I have that many?
It all depends on how you define the word
friends. Right. But, you know, so often I go through there and I'm going to go, okay, I'm just going to delete these people. And I'll go through a couple of pages and I go, I know all these people. I mean, I interact with them. And I'm going, I don't realize.
Who the heck are these?
No. These are ones I know. And I keep going down further and further. I said, gee, I know them. I don't know her, but she's a friend of Bob Belongi. So maybe I better keep her on there. The one, you know, Bob, the one with the tassels. Just kidding. Okay. But you send that to me, Benjamin. I think this is a great deal. And you're a young man. And I think it's a good thing. If we could get 10,000 signatures, along with, you know, money we've got set aside that they've got in this fund, mm-hmm. It might show them that people are interested. But you need to go to places where people are. You know, and I'd go and talk to like a store manager and just say, look, this is non-political and it's not a fundraiser. I'm not trying to take money. This is for flights. Round-trip flights from L.A. to Redding, and everybody wants that. I mean, I don't understand why you don't have 10,000 signatures right now.
If we want to reboot this town, we've got to have transportation.
We need to have that. So you need to send us a link on that. We'll put a link on our website right up there on the front page that says, let's get a trip to, round-trip flights, and this is one of the ways to do it.
Yeah, so it's from Redding to L.A. and, of course, vice versa. And I will say on the petition, I've had some feedback from people saying that it's asking to donate. You can actually skip the donate.
What do you mean donate?
It's for the change.org. It's to help the website. So I'd recommend if you don't want to donate, it's like I said, it's a free thing that I'm doing for the community. So you can just skip the donate button.
Don't do that. But get out in front of, get your friends. You had two other buddies came in here with you last time. Mm-hmm. Get them out in front of, some of these stores that have thousands of people go through, Sportsman's Warehouse or the whole area down there. Go through the parks. Get those, you know, there's a lot of people that lay around the parks, don't do anything, but they could sign their name.
Right. Also, with the math that I came up with. So I basically divided it up off the feedback that I'm getting, and I divided it up by four, because that's what most people were saying. They would travel to L.A., uh-huh. mainly for business and stuff. So with two 70-seater jets flying in and out of L.A., I would need to have 6,400 signatures in order to fill every one of those seats up, both flights. Going there and back.
I have a feeling that they would. That you could fill them up. I think just from, you may have slow days, but I would use it. You know, because you can't fly out of here. I mean, yeah. I mean, you can go to San Francisco sometimes. Okay,
San Francisco. And
all right, Benjamin.
Hopefully.
So you can go to change. This isn't like change. I mean, this isn't like change.org where you know they want to take down governments, right?
Right.
This is change.
Yeah, it's called change.org.
Oh, it is change.org.
Uh-huh.
Change.org. Maybe that's it.
Well, it's a site for a number for a large number of different causes, not just correct. The one you're
right.
thinking
but
of.
But the best way is to go to your Facebook page, which is
getting direct flights from Redding, California to LA and back. And once you start typing in, you'll see it pop up.
Okay. And you're going to send it to us.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks
Let's
for
hope
having
it
me.
Works. All right. Okay. Thanks a lot, Benjamin.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a break here, and we're going to be right back after these messages.
By the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be rising. She'll find the note I left hanging on her door. She'll laugh when she reads the part that says I'm leaving. 'Cause I've left that girl so many times before.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Murders, riots, violence, terrorism, hatred, racism, all result from a failed liberal progressive ideology. When you take pliable minds and instill violent, hate-filled rhetoric into them, you create mentally unstable individuals. Understand, there are evil people in this world who use their religion and beliefs as justification for their violent, evil actions. Your best protection from this corrupt ideology is having a sincere relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
I'm here with Dr. Sam Carino of Shasta Spine Specialists. Doc, tell us about this new system, the DRX 9000.
The DRX 9000 is the only true non-surgical spinal decompression system. The DRX 9000 can effectively treat common and debilitating back pain, neck pain, stenosis, and sciatica.
We hear over and over about people just having or getting ready to have back surgery. Now, why is that?
Too many people are having back surgery when the technology for non-surgical disc repair is right here in Reading.
So when you compare back surgery to non-surgical decompression like the DRX 9000, what are some of the main differences?
Non-surgical spinal decompression is safer, more effective, more financially reasonable, and much less invasive with no side effects or dependence on harmful prescription drugs.
Explore all options and potentially avoid a painful, long, expensive recovery with back surgery. See if the DRX 9000 is right for you. Call Dr. Sam Carino of Shasta Spine Specialists, 243-2300. You can also find them online at ShastaSpine.com.
Hey, Abby, I hear it's your birthday. Any special plans?
Yes, dinner at Nello's Place. Nello's has been a Reading landmark for over 30 years and is known for their delicious Italian food. And what makes it even better is that Nello's Place has partnered with Haven Humane Society this month for Second Tuesday Dining.
They have some of the most delicious Italian food in town.
Please join us on Tuesday, September 12th at Nello's Place from 5 to 9 p.m. They've been kind enough to donate a portion of the proceeds to help Haven Humane Society care for the abandoned and unwanted animals of the North State.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
And now, back to our show.
That you're moving on the back roads by the rivers of my memory, and for hours you're just gentle on my mind.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 1460. Yeah, Clint Campbell died, age 81. Alzheimer's. You know, so many great songs, so many albums in this. And, he kept, the 60s and 70s, came back in the 80s and 90s. He had a TV show. You remember the Glenn Campbell show?
Oh, absolutely.
How about it? I'm Glenn Campbell. You know, yeah. It was kind of a joke back then, but, he had songs. He did, you know, crossover songs like Galveston and all these. But, you know, and he also, he, this guy was a great guitarist,
Oh,
he
yeah.
played on a lot of, he toured with the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, there was a number of, you know,
really big
artists that he played with Elvis.
Yeah.
He played backup for Elvis.
He bridged the gap.
He was the seventh son of an Arkansas sharecropper.
Wow.
And he said, it didn't take me long when I'm at the south end of a mule that's heading north to figure this isn't what I wanted to do the rest of my life. And so he learned how to play the guitar, and it was, gosh, it was magic after that for him.
Another icon,
Sam Shepard. Yeah. And we talked a little bit about that, but Sam Shepard passed away from ALD. I think he was like 71.
Yeah.
And Sam Shepard, he was the iconic that role he played in The Right Stuff.
Oh yeah,
of Chuck Yeager. I mean, it was, and I've seen him in other movies. I mean, the guy's just great, and he was a playwright. Worked everywhere.
Yeah.
So. But The Right Stuff, when he played Chuck Yeager, he was outstanding in that. Hey, local news. I think we have Mothers Against Drunk Driving are supposed to be in here. I got to check on the they're supposed to be calling us here. I'm pretty sure that they're supposed to be calling us. I hope it's not me calling them because I don't have a number for them.
Call us because we won't call you.
Yeah, call us because
we don't have your number.
Yeah, we have a problem here.
Ricky, don't.
Miss MacArthur has thrown her hat in the ring. For county supervisor. Now, see, I said...
Oh, steel cage death match, baby! Are they in the same district?
Kehoe, her.
Oh.
And I understand there's supposed to be another person coming in here.
Darn, I was kind of hoping it was going to be her and Melissa going at it.
Oh, no. No, no. She's in Kehoe's district. Kehoe says he's running.
I'd buy the cage.
Dave Kehoe was in here, and he said things on the air that... They weren't mean, but they were... Dave Kehoe, you know what, has never had anybody run against him.
Right.
And, you know, Missy has, of course, the McConnell Foundation behind her, which is a plus and a minus. She, you know, Judy Salter was her campaign manager one time. Dave Kehoe, who is, like I said, nobody's ever run against Dave Kehoe.
You know, with all respect to those folks, some of them have just been there too long.
You know, they came in.
Shake it
up. They came in the other. You know what? It's time for. You know what? It is time for a change or something. You know what? Here come the phone calls. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be Dave Kehoe against Missy MacArthur. Missy's got baggage. Missy was on the city council for, I think, 8 years. I think it was 8 years. For two terms. But she came in when Missy left was when Measure D failed. And so Missy's got some baggage that's going to go over there with her. But I think Dave Kehoe's got to defend his record of not doing anything with all the problems we've had with the AB-109ers, 47s, 57s, 54s, hike, any of those, all those numbers. So, and what have they done with that? And, you know, and bringing business and being and working hard and working close with the city to try and solve these problems. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be one of those that, I heard somebody else may be running, which is another strong guy. Anderson Police. We have callers on this? Okay. All right. Well, let's just go to Charles. Good morning, Charles.
Yes, good morning. We're talking about Glenn Campbell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't forget, 1969, he co-starred with John Wayne in the movie True Grit.
That's
right. He played the character LaBeef, Texas Ranger.
That's right. And,
in fact, the theme song... For the opening theme for the movie, I think Glenn Campbell wrote that too.
I think you're right. I think you know what, the one that John Wayne won the Academy Award for that.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, all thanks. Right. That was it.
Yep.
Oh, okay, Charles. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Anderson Police. Are you ready for this? And we're going to have, by the way, Trish is with us tomorrow, and so is Baron Browning, and I can't wait to ask this. I have Baron bring in the police chief. Last time he brought in the city manager. He had a great one. We ought to have him bring in, you know, I'm going to call him and say, hey, why don't you bring in Mike Johnson? Anderson police cracking down on camps, encampments. They're going after them. They're issuing tickets. They're in their faces. And here's the thing. They want to move them. So as the only quote I saw was, gee, I wonder where those encampments will move to. I don't think they're going to move to Monterey. I don't think they're going to move to Denver. I don't think they're going to move to Seattle. I don't even think they're going to go to Red Bluff. I think they're going to say, oh, man, these guys are getting tough with us. Where can we go? Redding! And then, hey, is there a way of getting a ride up there? You know, maybe if we can call an ambulance and say we need to go to the hospital and call the fire department. I don't feel well, and I need to go to the emergency room up in Redding. And let me take my dog and all my stuff with me. So they have, you know, they take them all up there and drop them off. And he says, thanks. Goes in, has a cold drink, sits there in the air conditioning for 2 or 3 hours, uses the bathroom, cleans up, and then goes finds a place in a park. Or maybe, you know. So, you know what? Anderson Police, God bless you. You're taking care of Anderson. There's got to be a way. There's got to be a way of going after these camps and legally and moving them, Bob. I mean, they're Anderson's doing it.
Well, yeah,
it's just going to take. It's just going to take constant round the clock movement of people. And can we do it with paid? Can we do it with paid security people? Can the city? Can the city, under the guidance of the police, like when the Marines went into L.A. during the riots, they were under the control of the police. They had policemen out with the Marines, and they soon found out that that may not work because the Marines were a little bit more level headed than some of the police were when it came to returning fire. And then there was also they had a couple problems with the. The fact that when the policeman said, just give me some cover, the Marines thought it meant lay down a base of cover. So, and that was a little
problem. We don't come up with an official means of taking care of this. People will come up with an unofficial means of taking care
of this.
Well,
you
know, it won't be pretty.
You keep saying that, and people say that, but I haven't. You know what?
I hope I'm wrong. Please make me wrong. The one time
I saw people go down there into the Denzians down there off of Park Marina Drive. I think they all got arrested, you know, for saying that they were assaulting people. And even though they weren't, they got chased out of the park and were lucky probably to get out with their lives. But
I hope that I am wrong, but I sense a breaking point approaching, a critical mass.
I think there is. And we need our city to stand up and say, Pete Hansen's going to be here today. That's a great guy to ask, the acting chief. Pete, what can you do to chase these guys out of the parks? What has the city told you to do this, told you about the parks? And we'll see what he says. If he says, well, they haven't told me anything. But, you know, if he tells me that, I'll say, really? But if he says, I can't talk about it, we have a plan, I'm not going to push him on it because, you know, if they have a plan, you know, I'll just ask, when do you think this plan's going to happen? Okay, last thought here before
I'm getting a call from the Mad Women.
You did?
And they should be calling it in a few minutes.
Okay, make sure you get names and everything there.
Right.
Because they're calling from another state and all that. And I'm not sure which one is going to be talking to us, but it's about some new things they're doing. Okay, last thought for this one, and we'll probably go back to it. LaMoffa's town hall. He's one of the few Republicans that actually stand up and have a town hall, and he's gotten hammered. In this last one, some guy said to him, I hope you die in pain. All right, now think about that.
Now, that's from the party of compassion.
You know, I hope you die in pain. Why? I mean, I don't understand why, you know, you would say that. I mean, I don't remember any Republican standing up, you know, at a Feinstein or even a Hillary Clinton and saying, I hope you die in pain. Saying it to her face in front of people, I hope you die in pain.
See, that's the two-facedness of the former party in power.
Yeah, You know, and when I see that, you know, they're asking him questions. You know, hey, it's tough to defend Trump. Let's just face it; it is. You know, people say, well, "How do you defend that?" I say, I don't defend him. You know, he's a jerk a lot of times. On the other hand, every so often he shows moments of brilliance, and things happen, like Supreme Court nominees, courts he's putting in, the fact that the immigration has dropped so rapidly along illegal immigration has dropped so rapidly along the border.
Oh, NPR is just ringing.
The whole thing. We're going to take a break now. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Bastiani Arms. John and Sarah Bastiani. This is the only place that Linda and I go to buy our guns because of the long-term relationship we've had with them in the sense that they have the types of guns that we like to buy and all the accessories. They have the customer service that I can ask a question about any gun there, and they're going to be able to talk to me about it. They don't talk down to people. They don't, you know, they treat everybody the same as a customer that's interested in shooting, whether you've never picked up a gun before or if you've been shooting guns for your whole life. Bastiani Arms. Also have classes from Seth Stokes on concealed carry and hunter safety, and Seth gives a good class, a solid class, and he takes you out on the range. They have discounts for veterans. It's Bastiani Arms. Give them a chance. Give them a chance to beat the big box stores. Located at 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading, open Tuesday through Saturday. Good people down there. Bastiani Arms. Buy local. Stay local. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back with the Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Southern Nights.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
You obviously really love washing your car. Your wheels always look like you just got your car detailed.
Oh, I hate washing my car. That's why I'm in the car wash club at Premier Oil Change. I can run my car through their state-of-the-art new car wash all month long for a fixed price.
Now, that's out of my budget.
You'll be pleasantly surprised. It's very affordable. It starts at $22 a month, and it is fast. I get my car washed in under 5 minutes. They have free vacuums right next to the freeway. Easy in, easy out. I also like the oil change service. Having an infant and not having to get out of my car is a huge plus.
What a great service. Glad I asked. I'll check it out tomorrow.
Visit us in Palisadro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard, next to Waterworks Park. Both locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change and unlimited car wash.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Conservative? Flaunt it. Call Carl and Linda right now.
I know every crack in these dirty sidewalks of Broadway.
Welcome back. Yeah, Glenn Campbell passed away yesterday at age 81, so we're playing a lot of his music as our bump music today. Carl Bott here, 26 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock on the 9th of August, 2017. It's 72 degrees right now, going up to 102, so I guess we're blessed for the next few days. It's going to be under 146 in Reading. The humidity seems to be up a little bit.
Yeah, the swamp cooler.
The swamp cooler is just not working now. Okay, everybody. Good morning. Welcome back. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by, you know, Sharon Clark and Home Helpers. If you're looking for in-home health care, either short-term or long-term, Sharon Clark and her people are the ones to turn to. She's Business of the Year, Businesswoman of the Year, or Business Person of the Year several times, and she just has a solid, dependable company. And if I needed to put my parents into that needed help, it'd be Sharon Clark I'd turn to. Give her a call, 226-8350. Outstanding the way she treats her veterans in their in-home health care. Okay, we're with Colleen Sheehy Church, who is the national president of the Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Carl.
How are you, Colleen?
I'm doing well. I don't think I'd do well if it was over here on the East Coast at 146 degrees, like you had said.
But no,
I'm
no.
doing well at a nice cool 75 over here.
Okay. Well, you know, here I exaggerate a little bit. I think the most we hit the other day was like, what, 117?
I think we 115, I think, was the official one. But we're used to it.
Yeah, you know, we have like, we have 3 weeks of summer out here that's like that. The rest of the year, it's pretty good.
I'm glad. Yeah, your state's a beautiful state.
Well, you know, we're up here in Northern California, so we've got a lot of things up here going for us, you know, Mount Shasta, Lake Shasta, all the rivers and everything. So, yeah. Hey, Mothers Against Drunk Driving has been around, gosh, a long time. Can you tell us a little bit about
1980.
Yeah. You know, I remember when it started. Can you tell us a little bit about MAD?
You bet. You know, it was started, like I said, in 1980 by a woman who lost her daughter in a violent crash as her daughter was walking on the side of the road going to a carnival. That it outraged her so much that a grassroots effort was started in really looking at these crashes that are not accidents because somebody willfully gets behind a wheel impaired and takes that vehicle and basically turns it into a weapon and doesn't really care what it hits at that point because the impairment is so high. We have done pretty well in the 36 years we've been around. We've cut truck driving deaths in half, actually by 53%, but I'm concerned, on what we're talking about today because I'm seeing maybe a little bit more of a cultural complacency that's starting to translate to more and more needless deaths. For the first time in so long, we're seeing the pendulum swing to more drunk driving deaths each year. And the trend that we're seeing, in fact, one of them in your state, is kids streaming drunk driving crashes. So in the light of having these two recent ones, one in California and one in Pennsylvania that caused four deaths and severely injured others, you know, we're launching a petition that, asking the social media, the Facebooks, the Instagrams, the Twitters to adopt a stronger policy about posting these images.
Do you, Colleen, are you finding, and I realize, you know, I've been seeing that too. It's really, it's horrible when you see, you know, these kids out there and they think it's funny and they don't realize that they're going to be dead in the next 5 seconds. And it's not just them. It's the other people around them that it affects. I remember an accident. It had nothing to do with with a girl drinking, but she was driving way too fast. And then a car crashed, three of her best friends were killed. And she was that girl, 16, 17, was never the same after that. Not because of the injuries, but because she was the cause of her best friend's death. Are you finding more, you know, when we're talking about, I know it's about drunk driving, but what about impaired driving with all the, you know, with the rise of, you know, recreational marijuana and the opiate problems we're having?
Yeah, it's absolutely a great question. And yes, Matt is concerned that we're seeing the rise in the opiates and the drugs that are being ingested. Just to make myself clear, you know, alcohol is still the number one killer on the public roads, the highways today.
Sure.
The challenge we're seeing is that, you know, once these crashes, and they're not accidents, I heard you say the word accident, once these crashes occur, we're finding through the testing that literally 40% of them had something else on board. For example, my son was killed by a drunk driver. We found out that she not only had alcohol in her system, but she had PCP and marijuana in her system. So, yeah, we're really concerned about it. The trend is going the wrong way. We're seeing the pendulum kind of swing to where we're seeing more things on board someone's system. So we've got to fight right now a lot of things, and we have a lot to learn about what's going on inside an individual during that impairment and what's happening.
I would say then, as MAD would, you know, and I'm not trying to get into anything political here, but I would imagine MAD's against a national legalization of marijuana.
Well, we're not taking a stand on it yet.
Right.
In terms of, because we've got to look at, you know, how this state, each state is different. Each state is making their own required decisions.
Right.
Whether it's medical or whether it's, you know, medicinal purposes, whether it's recreational. The challenge that we find when we're trying to protect people on the highway, we're trying to find out, well, what is that limit? And no one can tell us that.
Yeah.
We need that. We need all hands on deck. We need the scientists. We need the judicial system. You know, we need our courts. We need our researchers to say, well, what is that impairment? You know, we have a BAC. We have a BAC of 0.08. That's across the country. We don't have one yet for drugs and or impairment.
Yeah, I know. And on a lot, a lot of it's what the policeman sees, because they're trained to, you know, they're trained to take a look at this stuff. But I mean, if you give them a blood test, you know, the marijuana will be in your system for 30, 40 days. So I mean, this is tough.
Yeah, our first line of defense right now is what we call DREs. They're drug recognition experts. They are able and trained very well across the country in law enforcement to look at an individual and be able to see the outward signs, because you obviously can't smell drugs, unless it's marijuana, like you can alcohol. So they are our boots on our ground and our first line of defense. And I guess what I want to really make sure that we at least notate is, you know, what is happening to the culture that more and more of these needless deaths and injuries are happening. You know, the act of bragging and the act of this complacency and the trend of people posting and live streaming. The one in California went as far as, you know, posting and still live streaming her sister dying. And, you know, this is a girl that's impaired. And now many of those have been taken off all the social media. I'm sure you could probably still find something on YouTube, but when you look at that, it reminds me of the bragging that we went through over a year ago with Ethan Couch in Texas. And you guys probably remember them as the affluenza case. This was worldwide.
Oh yeah.
This young kid. Yeah. The affluenza case. He went to, you know, he killed four people, injured many others. I have met one of the victims who is paralyzed from the neck down, will never be the same. And he thought he was above the law and above consequences. So we've got this rise of promoting drunk driving on social media. So we're asking, are we creating this next generation of Ethan Couches? So this is why we're really making sure that we can get to the owners of the Facebook and the Instagram and the Twitters to adopt a stronger policy. with the petition we're looking for them to sign to get the signature to say, please get this down faster. Please don't allow this to happen. Young people are watching these things. Young people are doing it, and young people are watching it. So there's it's a frightening trend. And we ask that everybody goes to, you know, mad.org/drunk-driving-goes-viral and signs a petition to help us help the parents, help the guardians, and help the kids that are doing this.
I tell you what, Mothers Against Drunk Driving have had a huge impact in a very positive way on America. And I do remember it starting in 1980, as I go back that far in my life. And the, you know, yeah, I know. And the, but, it's this new trend of more people drinking plus the impairment of what other drugs they have in their system where, you know, it's, you know, they've been drinking, but then you add marijuana or you add something else in there. You know, in the military, they used to be called an, an accidental discharge of a weapon. That was changed a couple of decades ago to negligent discharge. In other words, there's no such thing as accidentally shooting a rifle. You know, it was because you made a mistake, and it's the same thing with this. There's no such thing as accidentally getting drunk and killing somebody. It's a crash, it's a weapon, and should be treated as such. And this is we as Americans and a free people need to say, you know what, we ought to be able to drive on our roads and be safe. And if this is one way to help do it, I'm more than happy to get on to mad.org, go to Drunk Driving Goes Viral, and sign that petition.
Carl, I thank you. I have to tell you that you're probably one of the first radio stations that have actually been so positive about it. It's the public support and support from, you know, radio stations like yourself and media that can get the word out. We can't do it on our own. And the trend is alarming.
Yeah.
We saw the rise in 2015. In November, we're going to see another rise in numbers from 2016. We run a little bit about a year behind. But the bragging, the complacency, and you remember this too, back in the 80s and 90s, Hollywood actually helped Matt normalize that concept of designating a non-drinker. Matt coined that phrase to get everyone home safe. Again, we're trying to separate drinking from driving, drugs from driving. And more importantly, you know, Hollywood helped us make drinking and driving literally socially unacceptable. When years before that, it was a great punchline on TV, you know, on the late night TV with the punchline. It was people mimicking them being so totally impaired, and it was all funny. And it's not funny anymore when we lose 10,000 people a year from something that is 100% preventable.
Absolutely. I'm surprised to hear you say that there's other station, other media is not supporting you or is as supportive.
Well, they're not being as vocal as you. I like the fact that you, you know, you can tell that you are passionate about it. And there's reporting and there's passion, and you have you're doing both, and I really appreciate the fact that you're doing that.
Well, thank you so much. We're talking to Colleen Sheehy Church. She is the national president of the Mothers Against Drunk Driving. They're concerned about these. You're seeing things on Facebook and other places where people are drunk and they're filming it. and they're being killed in crashes, or they're killing other people in crashes. This isn't an accident when people get this. They're also the problem of not just drinking, but more different types of drugs in their system. And it's starting the number of people, those number of crashes are starting to rise. So if you can go to mad.org/drunk-driving-goes-viral and sign a petition so they have, you know, maybe several million signatures that'll go on and go on and say, hey, look, we've got to do something about this and we got to move forward with it. So, yeah, Colleen, anytime y'all have anything, y'all just give us a call.
Carl, I thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You bet. You take care now.
Take care.
All right. Hey, you know what? We got Peter Hansen just sitting in here right now, and I got to take a break. But Peter, are y'all seeing – just sit down. We'll just start early.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning. She says there's a rise in drunk driving and impaired driving. Have we seen that? Have you been long enough to see if we've been – are we starting to see that in Reading too?
I don't know what the statistics are in Reading, but I can tell you about, and I hate to keep doing this, but the driving while impaired fatality travel crashes have doubled in the state of Washington since marijuana became legal.
And you know, and that's what I asked her. We've got to take a break, so we'll come back and we'll finish discussing, but I do have to take a break. This weekend at the VFW down in Anderson is the Mash Bash. That's right. It's going to start at 5 p.m. It goes to 10 p.m. It's dinner, dancing, gun raffles, the whole thing at the Mash Bash. I'm going to be there. We're going to have a table there. Mash Bash, Saturday, August 12th. If you wear something from that era of the Korean War era, you may actually even win a prize. So, head on down there, and we'll talk more about that. I've got Reading Police Chief Pete Hansen in here, and we're going to be right back after these messages.
A tribute band bringing you the great music and legendary sound of the Doobie Brothers. Join us Friday, September 8th at 7:30 p.m. as Wind River Resort and Casino welcomes Doobie Rock, the music of the Doobie Brothers, live in the Event Center with all the amazing vocals and driving beat of the Doobie Brothers music. Doobie Rock, the music of the Doobie Brothers, is a show you will not want to miss, performing their greatest hits. So get ready to go rocking down the highway and listen to the music of Doobie Rock, recreating the harmonies of the Doobie Brothers and performing their classic music with unique spot-on vocals. A must-see show. Purchase your tickets now at the River Club or WindRiver.com. Tickets for this event are just $12.50 each or a table of 10 for $100. Don't miss your chance to see Doobie Rock, the music of the Doobie Brothers, in concert at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center Friday, September 8th. A good time will be had by all. Must be 21 to attend. Download the Wind River app on Google Play or the Apple Store. Concerts are better, better at the River.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it. Powerhouse Solar does it all, but not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
Call Powerhouse Solar at 275-5600 or visit them on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just great houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddle boards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to lakeshasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
What are you in the mood for dinner tonight? How about a Jack's Grill world famous steak, a fork tender filet mignon, a hot and juicy New York steak or brochet of beef cooked to perfection and so tender you can cut it with a smile? Maybe deep fried prawns or golden fried chicken, all served with garlic bread, hot baked potato or french fries, and a large family style bowl of tossed green salad with homemade dressing of your choice. Are you in the mood? Meet friends and family at Jack's Grill, a Reading landmark since 1938. Open Monday through Saturday on California Street, downtown Reading.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Yeah, welcome back. Free Fire Radio, right here in the studios of KCNR.
Rocks!
There you go. You know, I'm watching Bob dancing in here. You know, I start speaking too soon because Bob, all of a sudden, his arm goes up in the air, and I'm going... Gotta wait for the hook. But see, I don't know these songs. You know these songs. I don't know these songs. You know, one time I waited, and finally you turned around and said, your mic's on. Oh, okay, thanks. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Super people down there. It's the only full-service jewelry store in town. That's where Chief Pete Hansen goes to buy jewelry for his wife because he's left her up there in Washington State. 2225 Hilltop Drive, right here in Reading, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. They are super people down at Four Winds Jewelry. And I do have Chief Peter Hansen here, interim chief. Okay, Pete. I told you I was going to spring this one on you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Because we're going to do that Washington State stuff in a few days.
I want to know where Linda is. This is the second time I've been here, and she's not
here. He gets
here,
a button.
So I feel bad.
You know what? Because she came in and hugged you the other day.
Yeah, I know.
But see, she's up. She's not even here. She's not even in Reading. She's up with the girls up in Antelope Creek at this beautiful lodge.
Oh, good for her.
And the girls get together for 4 days. She'll be home tomorrow.
Okay. Well, tell her I missed her.
I will, because you know she likes you a lot. Mike Johnson and Anderson.
Yes.
Started raiding the encampments.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
So the question is, and when they keep getting pushed and pushed, do you think they're going to go to the people will go to Seattle? Okay, this is a multiple choice question. Will they go to Seattle? Will they go to Portland? Will they go to L.A. or will they come to Reading?
It depends on their connection to Reading. So they generally will go where the services are being provided.
Well, let's think now. Reading.
Well, if you have the county seat where a lot of services are being provided by social services and organizations like that, and it's known that the churches and other charitable organizations will come here to do their distributions, this is where they're going to come. And that's, again, that happens up and down the West Coast. The cities that are having the most significant problems are the ones with the largest donation, giveaway, support network for people who find themselves in this situation.
Reading.
Reading, yeah.
We keep saying Reading. I mean, everything you're saying is,
it's true.
I mean, we are the center here.
We
have the Good News Rescue Mission. We have, I don't know if you saw Donnie Chamberlain's story in the Good News Rescue Mission.
No.
I mean, not Good News Rescue Mission, News Cafe, about, she wrote two articles that has, and let me give you the links to them, but she's written two articles. One, Reading, the new, what was it?
Reading.
The new.
Reading's New Normal.
Reading's New Normal.
I did read that article.
Is unacceptable. But she just wrote another one yesterday, and it said, this is what, you know, here's solutions. And her, you know, which had to do with Stillwater and putting a place out there and all that. But the new normal was, and Donnie is, you know, is a very giving person, has helped and helped, but she's had it. And the last part of that article said, if we don't get leadership doing something about it, then we need to leave.
I did read that article, and what I got out of it is, I think overall we should not be willing to accept the status quo and what is going on.
Right.
And you are correct. It's very easy to identify the problem. The solutions are the key. So I'll be interested in reading her follow-up article. But, I thought that was her observations of what she's seeing and how Reading has changed are right on point. And many of the people I've been talking to, more than I've ever seen before, are identifying public safety as their number one concern. I mean, we've always had a transient problem or always had, you know, this, that, the other. But it's never been the number one concern where that consumes so much time and energy for day-to-day people who are concerned about their safety, concerned about their recreation, concerned about their kids, and are willing to speak out about it with what I think are some very innovative and good ideas about what we can do in law enforcement and the city as a whole. Some ideas being put forth that we can actually do something about this.
I came here 10 years ago, came out of Iraq, and came up here. And I've seen the change dramatically in the last 5 years.
Yes.
And I think everybody has. And, you know, from that time when everything crashed, where you lost 33 officers, at least 33 officers, you lost your, you know, you lost the community service, the jail filled up immediately. Oh, the third floor of the jail was shut down?
Yes.
Did that happen while you were here?
Yes.
Okay. You know, I mean, that perfect storm.
Yes. And the other part of the perfect storm is the number of people being released from prison. You know, tops of 40 or 50,000.
AB 109 and all that, and then others. No, all of that. All of that impacted at one time, the perfect storm.
So let's talk about some solutions that we're actually working on.
Okay. I wanted to do that after, because we've just only got a minute left. Right. And that's perfect, because that first question I was going to ask you was, when she said is the leadership, now she's talking about the city council, but also board of supervisors need to, board of supervisors need to have their pants taken down. It's paddled really hard, too. You know, the city council is getting slammed, but the board of supervisors hasn't done a damn thing that I can think of to try to address this. Just my opinion. Well, mine and about 10,000 others. So let's talk about solutions when we come back. And Anderson, one of their solutions is going after those camps. So I'd be interested to see if that's part of our solution here.
Well, we've got three things in the works, so yeah, we'll talk
about
that.
Okay, great. All right, we're here with Reading Police Chief Pete Hansen. We'll be right back after the news.
And the new the news is sponsored by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive on KCNR Shasta Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says President Trump was trying to send a strong message to North Korean leaders when he threatened to deliver what he called a fire and fury over any more nuclear threats.
I think the president just wanted to be clear to the North Korean regime that the U.S., you know, unquestionable ability to defend itself, will defend itself and its allies. And I think it was important that he deliver that message to avoid any miscalculation on their part.
And Tillerson insists he does not believe there's any imminent threat coming from the North Koreans. FBI agents served a search warrant at the home of Paul Manafort today, the former campaign chairman for President Trump. Manafort has been a subject of a longstanding FBI investigation into his dealings in Ukraine and work for that country's former president. In Paris today, French official noting that police have now arrested a chief suspect in the car attack on soldiers. The man was wounded, they say, in a gunfight during his capture. Six soldiers were injured when they were apparently targeted by the man in an ambush with his vehicle. Two seriously hurt. OPEC says a technical committee secured commitments from four oil-producing countries to try and bring their production in line with the previously agreed-to output targets in their ongoing effort to bring down, or rather to raise, the price of international crude.
The organization says the United Arab Emirates, Iraq, Kazakhstan, and Malaysia agreed to fully cooperate with committees charged with monitoring adherence to production targets with the aim of reaching full conformity. The statement followed closed-door talks this week with the countries and the technical committee. It did not specify how or when the countries might be required to adhere to targets agreed to by OPEC and other major producers outside the bloc. Jeremy House reporting.
On Wall Street, the Dow's down 54 points, the NASDAQ off 34. More from townhall.com.
The clock is ticking. Every day you put off buying life insurance can cost you big time. The older you get, the more you'll have to pay. And a sudden accident or unexpected illness could cause your rates to skyrocket or even make you uninsurable. Beat the clock. Call SelectQuote now. No hassle, no obligation. In minutes, you'll have a choice of your best rates from up to 10 highly rated life insurance companies. Richard, 40 years old, takes meds to control his cholesterol. Still, SelectQuote got him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. Under a dollar a day. Don't risk your family's security another minute. Get your free quote now. Just call 800-305-8080. That's 800-305-8080. 800-305-8080 or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Nissan would be made to pay more than $97 million under a proposed settlement with vehicle owners affected by the Takata airbag recall.
The settlement would pay for a new outreach program to ensure Takata airbags are removed from 4.4 million affected Nissan vehicles. It would also compensate owners for expenses while getting their cars fixed, including rental cars. Takata's airbag inflators can explode with too much force, hurling shrapnel into drivers and passengers. The inflators are blamed for at least 16 deaths and 180 injuries worldwide. The problem touched off the largest automotive recall in U.S. history. The Nissan settlement is similar to those reached in May with Toyota, BMW, Mazda, and Subaru. Keith Peters reporting.
There's been a slight increase in the productivity of American workers. The Labor Department says productivity grew at an annual rate of 0.9% in the April through June quarter after a 1.1% rate of increase in the first quarter of this year. More from townhall.com. Three men were shot dead this week on a popular Mexican tourist beach with another man and woman badly wounded.
Authorities in the state of Baja California say a group of people were relaxing under the shade of a palm tree on the popular vacation beach at San Jose del Cabo when gunmen walked up and opened fire. Tourists fled as they heard bursts of semi-automatic gunfire and witnessed its point-blank consequences. The two survivors who aren't being identified are being treated in hospital. No arrests have been made. James Blears, Mexico.
The Food and Drug Administration is expanding its public education campaign on the dangers of electronic cigarettes. The agency planning to expand the Real Cost campaign this fall. It will include messages to teens about the dangers of using e-cigarettes and other electronic nicotine delivery systems. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 1460 in the, I call it, ground zero of Reading. In the reclamation of Reading with K2 building, putting buildings up, the police coming down and cracking down on people in town and that are doing strange things. All the neat things are happening in downtown Reading. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. And our phone lines are 605-4567. Reading Police Chief Peter Hansen is sitting here with us, and we're going to get to him in just a second. But, Bob, what does it look like for weather?
Sunny and hot today, a high near 102 degrees, winds out of the south about 6 miles an hour. Fire danger remains extremely high, of course. We're going to see this picture through the rest of the week with overnight lows right around the 70-degree mark. We could see some decreasing temperatures about a week from today. We're looking at a high actually down in the lower 90s, so let's look forward to that one. But we will have an increase of clouds. Shasta Lake, 24 feet from the top of the dam, dropping about 6 inches per day. This report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Locally owned, locally operated, a veteran-owned business here that gives discounts to seniors and veterans, a large business down in Anderson. Give them a call, 365-3793. Hey, we're here with Interim Police Chief Peter Hansen, and he came in, and before we went on the break, he said, we're working on three solutions of some of the problems around here.
Right, and certainly they're not going to solve every problem we have, but we have stepped-up enforcement effort, which is going to be occurring soon, and it's a cooperative effort amongst several different law enforcement agencies to come in and address the problems we're seeing at the very street level, the low-level offenders who are violating the municipal code either through camping or drinking or causing the very visual problem that we see in town, the eyesores, those sorts of things. So,
would this be like the mayor in New York did? You go after the little ones? You go after the little things and the big guys leave?
That was very successful in New York. They started
absolutely
focusing
was.
On pedestrian violations.
Yeah.
And
people spitting on the street got citations and got moved.
So focusing on the small problem, which is part of the broken window theory, prevents a lot of the big problems from occurring. So we are following that model, similar to what Anderson did. We're going to be conducting a major operation here in a few days. Which, again, will bring together many law enforcement agencies to work with us. That's some stepped-up enforcement on those types of visual eyesore problems that we see around our community. The second thing we're doing is, with the blessing of City Council, we are developing a sort of a comprehensive plan to enhance security overall throughout the city, which would include a whole bunch of different things. It just has to go back to council early in September for them to approve the whole package. Lots of effort there, but the effort here would be to improve security at many different facilities throughout town and provide us possibly with some of the us, the police department, with some additional funding for another work program coordinator. That would be Bob Brannon's position, another person like that. So there are things in the works that the city, all the departments are working together on to address these types of issues.
Okay, when we talk about – okay, just hit the third one because okay. I got questions.
So the third one is one of the things that we discovered, and I discovered recently, but has been an ongoing problem, is that many of the times our officers will make contact with someone, they'll issue a citation, and if they don't go to court, essentially nothing happens. No warrant is issued. It would just go to, quote, civil collections. And we met with the court officials, and they described to us what their process is. So a lot of these violations are misdemeanors. So we're saying, well, fine, we'll just take them to the district attorney. The problem is that the district attorney is going to be overwhelmed. So what I'm doing is we have in our community the Community Corrections Board. And this is the board that was formed as a result of AB 109 to determine how the funding is spent when the money comes from the state. So the sheriff, the chief probation officer, the public defender, the district attorney, Reading police chief, a representative from the courts. I'm probably missing someone, but there's a
we've been talking about right. the CCPD.
Right, that's it. So I'm going to ask for some additional support for the district attorney and the public defender's office in our next meeting. Because in order to hold people accountable and have some consequence for what they do, the next link in the chain is the district attorney and, therefore, the public defender. Those people need to have the case arrive at their desk so that they can determine what is best for this person. For example, you have someone that's drinking in a public park. Okay, maybe the real issue there is he's got an alcohol problem and he needs to be referred to one of the programs administered under the CCPD. Through the probation department. But in order to get him there, we have to get him into the system. We can't just say, he doesn't show up, so we're going to ignore it. Once you start doing that, there's no consequence for your action.
Which has been the way it's been for the last few years.
Right. So we're going to try and convince the CCP board to rearrange their budget to allow for additional funding so some additional resources can be developed, not only at the district attorney's office, but at the public defender's office as well, so they can deal with some of these cases that are really causing a lot of the eyesores here in Reading.
Okay. All right. So let's start with the first one.
Yes.
All right. So we're looking at a push by not only you all, but probably Anderson, the Highway Patrol, and the Sheriff's Department.
Yes.
And maybe even private security. I don't know about that, but that could be in there. And you're going to do is put a lot of pressure on the on different areas.
Yes.
And address when we see groups of people. Does that mean that camping in parks is illegal?
Yes.
Does that mean that we're going to move people out of parks?
If they're violating the municipal code.
And yes. What's the municipal code then?
Well, there's a prohibition against illegal camping. You can't drink in public parks. There's lots of rules like that. So those will be strictly enforced. And again,
can you spend overnight in parks? That's camping. That's considered camping, isn't it?
Yes. No, you cannot spend overnight in parks.
So
camping is
so
actually,
this is
it's even a little further than that if you're arranging a sleeping bags or putting up tents or things like that, as opposed to a sunshade, you know, that someone might do to protect a child from the sun.
Sure.
That's not camping.
We all know the difference there.
But if you erect a tent and you have sleeping bags and obvious that you're, you know, wanting right. to stay there, that's a violation of
You don't have to wait.
We don't have to wait overnight.
Okay. What about camps that are on public property?
Same issue. They're not allowed.
So we've been waiting. First it was a week. Now it's down to 48 hours.
We have
to warn them to move. Do we have to really do that? Is there anything in writing that says we have to wait 48 hours? Or can we just come in, Bob Brennan, with backup, say,
well,
get out of here?
If the person is there, okay, you can cite them. They have to move immediately.
Okay.
If the person is not there and you just discover the camp, then we have to post the camp saying you have to vacate within 48 hours. Understand the difference?
I understand.
So if there's no one there, you can't just take everything. You have to post it for 48 hours. Then you can go back and take the property later. And then we have to hold it for 90 days until someone comes to see if someone comes to claim it.
Is that in writing from someplace that
yes.
says you have to keep it for 90
That's
days?
That's state law, yes.
Okay. All right. So you go to a camp, and if there's somebody there, you can move them out.
Yes.
And if they're not, you can you can't collect their gear. You put a post in there, and then you go back. And
yes.
Now, we're spending so many people around here volunteer to clean this stuff up and all that, and it's tons and tons of stuff.
Yes.
What about private property owners?
Private property owners are not under the same restrictions. They can clear that tents, and if someone's on your property camping, you can move them out immediately, and if they're not there, you can gather that stuff and you can dispose of it as you see fit. It's on your property. So the government is under the 90-day hold. Private citizens are not.
I'm liking all of this, Chief. Yeah.
So if you own a piece of property, you have several acres or whatever it is in town, and find an illegal camp, you can clean it up right now.
What about if what if it's on private property and the private property owner isn't doing anything about it? Maybe they're an absentee, or maybe they just don't care. Can the city go after them and hit them with some kind of code enforcement?
Possibly, but I don't know the specific answer to that.
I think they can, but I'm not sure either, because I really need to get is the attorney, city attorney in here.
Or the code enforcement officer.
And the code enforcement guy, maybe probably at the same time. Okay, this is great. Okay, so this is something people have been saying, why aren't we doing it? So now we're going to do it.
Yes.
All right.
And this will be part of, well, what has been happening over the last few months, but it'll also be part of an ongoing effort. We're not just going to do it once and then ignore it.
Yeah, you can't. You've got to keep the pressure on.
Got to keep the pressure on. But it has to be in conjunction with some of these other steps.
Okay, let's talk about the second one then, the enhanced security at places.
Yes.
All right, and I can give some good examples of on Yuba Street, the Veterans Hall. We had senior veterans that were being harassed by these animals. I can say that. You probably can't say that, but I can say it. From the feral campers from that park next to them. What was that? What is that? It used to be Library Park. Now it's
Carnegie Park.
They're being harassed. And after several phone calls were made, that the police came down there and I think chased them out. But they're back next day, and then we put a fence around it. Now the fence is down. So how do you plan on doing enhanced security with the limit of people you have?
Well, we have several really good suggestions from members of our community. You made a suggestion last week about using private security, expanding the use of private security for city facilities. That's one aspect. Captain Moore has been working with many of the downtown businessmen on this crime prevention through environmental design.
Yes.
And that is fencing, lighting, alarms.
Right.
That's what you can do as a private individual to enhance the security at your particular location. We had problems with transients semi-camping there in front of the post office downtown. So, we had to go work with the post office on that. And so we address,
has that been addressed?
It has been. So when people tell us what's going on, we'll respond to that directly. But we need a more comprehensive overall enforcement effort to not only chase these people from one spot to another but to get them into the system so they can be redirected to what the probation department does in terms of putting these people in programs, whether it's housing, drug or alcohol or addiction treatment, or whatever caused them to be in that circumstance. We have to get them into the system.
There has got to be an overall.
There has to be some consequences.
One of the things that we used to say is that we owned the land, in the military. When you went into Iraq or any of these places I've been in, we own the ground as long as we're standing there. As soon as we move off, they come back in. So there's got to be that surge that keeps those boots on the ground, or a way of getting them into out of that area, and going into a program can do it.
There has to be some consequence.
Yes.
There has to be some accountability, and that's where step three comes in. Step three comes in related to how do we hold these people accountable and help them solve their problem.
We're going to do that right after the break here. We've gone way past here because you've had a lot of great things to say. Now we're going to talk about holding them responsible, people that have done things. All right, we're going to take a break. This portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. You talk about turning the heat up. The city's turning the heat up on our recalcitrants here in town. And Alliance Heating and Air can handle the heat. Is that good? Can handle the heat. Segue. It's 104 degrees out there. And if you need help, you call Martin or any of his people out there from Alliance Heating Air. Veteran-owned business. They've been voted best in the North State, and there's a reason for that. They are the best in the North State. These are the only people that we would call if we had any air conditioning or heating problems. Give them a call, 221-2642, or check out their website, homecomfort.org. Martin and his people are just simply outstanding when it comes to customer service. We'll be right back with Reading Police Chief Peter Hansen, and we're going to talk about the third part of the plan, and that's how do you hold them responsible?
Competition in other places, but the horns, they blowing that sound.
After we inspected a vehicle with a driving problem, I called the insurance company, Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The insurance adjuster seemed skeptical because the vehicle had recently been repaired, so I invited him to inspect it. The first area was only 1/8 inch off, as was the second. He said, I don't see a problem. Each area is within tolerance. Tolerance is accumulative, I said. This car is 1/4 inch short on one side, and that will amplify over the length of the car. When measured the full length, the wheels will not align. Accumulative damage is often not understood. He said he would check with the shop to do the repair. He called later and said, they are frustrated, because no matter how perfect they make it, Coachmaster can always make it better. I replied, if we can make it better, it was not perfect. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit. One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
Got something stuck in your craw? Give us a call, 605-4567.
You, I was telling what it means to be a man.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 1460. It is 23 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. We had a little bit of a late break on that one there. But in the middle of listening to Reading Police Chief Peter Hansen talking about these three things that they're doing. We've heard two of them on one of taking back areas and holding it and then enhancing security through a variety of different means, not necessarily because we're limited on the number of police we have, but other ideas that have come up. But then the last one is holding people responsible. We issue citations, and if they don't show up, it's just been in the past. It's been, oh, well. And they just keep going on, and we keep issuing citations or failures to appear. New idea.
In order to get people into the system, which pushes them to the probation department for their programs for housing or drug treatment or
alcohol abuse or those sorts of programs. We need to get them into the criminal justice system, which means we need to prosecute these as misdemeanors. The district attorney's office and the public defender's office need help with this in terms of additional staff to handle the additional workload we're going to put on them. So next week we're having the Community Corrections Partnership meeting. I'm going to suggest a reallocation of this year's budget to provide additional funding for those two offices, because that's where, in terms of the work we do, starts. That's how it starts. And I, you know, don't presume to tell the DA or the public defender how to do their job, but they can then determine what is the best way to hold this person accountable. Is the best thing to put this person into a program that will help on more of a long-term basis than just issuing a fine or something like that? And that's the goal of community corrections, to get out of the incarceration mode into a treatment program mode. So I want to assist that by let us put people into the systems so that they can be there. And I'm not going to suggest more money for law enforcement or more money for incarceration.
Well, how do you then, if somebody's arrested for drunk in public, and this is the 15th time, or given a citation for drunk in public, and you don't incarcerate them, and how do you get them to the DA and the public defender?
Well, for example, drunk in public, there would be a short incarceration, but then the case would go to the district attorney,
right?
Maybe or maybe not. The district attorney and public defender then could decide what's best for this person. Ultimately, there has to be some threat.
Right, and that was the problem we were having,
right,
is that we have no threat anymore. There's
right.
no hammer because we can't put them
right.
in jail to help people. And this is what people said. You said it
yeah.
5 years ago. If we don't have a hammer or a place to put these guys,
yeah.
there's no way to force right. them into it.
So the solution, the long-term solution, isn't necessarily incarceration. That may be a short-term solution or incentive, particularly if the sheriff is able to continue sending people out of county as he's been doing. So you have a person that's a problem person here, and instead of incarcerating here in Shasta County, he gets sent to one of the other places. Maybe that sends a stronger message. Ultimately, that might be the incentive. The goal is to see what we can do to get some of these people into a program that will help them and prevent them from reoffending.
I think, and that is a noble goal.
Well, you have to do things differently. Locking them up and just letting them out. Lock them up. Let them. That won't work.
But you've got to move them into the. It'll be interesting. I hope that you can. When you go into the CC, correctional custody, deep, whatever it is. I've said it like 100,000 times in the last 3 weeks because of the surplus of money they have in there. I hope that having that an extra public defender and an extra district attorney would do that. I still think, though, is that there's got to be a way that you have to be able to have something to force them into this.
So,
unless we have that, I think that maybe there's different ways. Maybe slap a bracelet on them or something like that.
So in the long term, this is a first step.
Okay.
And if it is determined, if these positions are approved and funded, and it's determined there's a logjam at the next step, then we need
go
to the next step. What
okay.
needs to be done? One step at a time. So this is a first step. It's a plan. It's something we
okay.
need to do to push forward.
We need a plan. And
yes.
So far, everything you've said to me today and to the people, because I'm going to get after the show is over, I'm going to send this out to the world and say you need to listen to what Pete Hansen is saying on the
yeah.
plans of what's going to happen in our town
yeah.
starting in the next, I can just say, next few days.
Yeah.
Is it going to be noticeable when this stuff happens?
Oh, I think so.
I think so, too. I think, are we going to, I mean.
You'll see.
Will be people waving flags when you're walking by?
I doubt.
Well, you never can tell. You know what? People, they're up to here.
Right. And from what I'm hearing from people at city council meetings, the council meetings that I viewed online, talking to people like yourself and other people in the community, they don't want to hear, I can't, and they don't want to hear, I won't, and they don't want to hear statistics anymore. They want to hear, what are you going to do? So we need to take some positive steps, and we're not going to fix every problem. Some of these might be a Band-Aid, but we're going to start addressing some of these issues more proactively.
Well, I think that that's frankly, it's a good idea. I think that all of a sudden the city council has had some, has got energy in this. There's a sense of urgency that was never there before. I'm not sure if the recall had anything to do with that or not. I don't know if it was Barry Tippin that had anything to do with this. And
I think the council is listening. I think Barry Tippin is listening. I think the new city manager has some, you know, why don't we try this attitude that's
Well, the old way isn't working.
Well, it's a breath of fresh air, and that's where a change of leadership can benefit not only the city, but the police department and all sorts of organizations when you put a set of fresh eyes on what is appeared to be a problem. But I think the most important thing is council is really listening to what people are
saying. That's the bottom line. The council needs to lean into this, and right. I believe the people thought, right. frankly, is that the council just didn't care. They were too wrapped up in whatever they were doing, that they were without purpose in the sense of what's your plan. See, there was no plan that came forward. Your plan right here is a simple plan. Plans have to be simple, but it has to be executed in a very productive manner. And we've got to see, people did not see the plans before, Pete.
So that's where we're headed. Again, and it's not just law enforcement.
No,
it has to involve the entire city, all the departments. And, you know, the city council last meeting approved in concept this whole city approach to some of these issues.
Mm-hmm.
And getting the other law enforcement partners involved will help us towards this solution. The other follow-up agencies, which include the probation department, the work they're doing with their programs is excellent, but we need to get people there first.
Need to get people there. Okay. We're here with Reading Police Chief, Interim Police Chief Pete Hansen. He's talking about these three plans, or the plans written in the three phases of it.
Right.
And this is just the first part of the plan. This isn't the final objective.
Correct.
This is just your intermediate objectives to get to the final. What is the final objective?
Well, it's what we can do right now is what we're focusing
right.
on.
Right, I understand.
But we also
that.
Need to have some long-term plans.
Yeah.
And I think part of the comprehensive city plan does involve some long-term solutions. Again, that's not ready for prime time because it's not ready yet, and we'll have to go before council.
But it is – there's. I know that Barry's having a 6-month plan and a 12-month plan. It's
right.
supposed to come out this month, in fact.
Right.
Maybe that's
right.
part of it. Okay. We've got to take a break. Terry, hang on to after the break. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Cedar Tree Restaurant out in Palo Cedro. You know what? It's worth that drive because if you've never eaten at the Cedar Tree, you're missing out on great food. And they're open Saturday through Tuesday from 7:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Their breakfasts are just – if you haven't had the chicken fried steak, which is probably not good for people of Pete's age, but it looks like you work out a lot, you got to go down and have the chicken fried steak. Oh, my gosh, it's great. It's you have to drive a little bit, but isn't a great breakfast and a great lunch worth it? Absolutely.
That's real good.
It's real good out there. Okay, hey, we'll be right back.
When I was young, it seemed that life was so wonderful. A miracle, oh, it was beautiful, magical. And all the birds in the trees.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Hey, Linda, where do you think the best place in town is to get a sandwich?
Well, my favorite is the Best Little Sandwich Shop. I like the one on Eureka.
Well, you know, they've got four locations. They have Anderson, another place on Churn Creek in Redding, and, of course, Palisadro.
Remember the party we went to the other day? The food was catered by the Best Little Sandwich Shop, and it was amazing.
It was some of the best food I've had at any one of those types of events.
Just mention Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 1460. Get 10% off at the Best Little Sandwich Shop at any of the four locations.
Check out the menu at tbls.com. The Best Little Sandwich Shop.
The MASH Bash is coming Saturday, August 12th. Hi, Rob Burrows inviting you to the VFW Hall in Anderson for MASH Bash 2017. Dress up as your favorite MASH character for a fun evening with barbecue dinner from the Shasta Association of Grillers and Smokers, live music from Wildcard and Chris McCandless, auction, drawings, costume contest, and a great night of fun supporting the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. For tickets, call 378-2280. And thanks for your support.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back. Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460. It is 8:35 exactly. And the temperature is 75, going up to 102. It says 72, but I don't believe it because we've been on the air for over an hour, so I think it's got to be at least 75. And the weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, 365-3793. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, the only place to get a haircut in California and maybe even Southern Oregon. Man's last stronghold, veteran-owned business that indeed gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. Okay, our guest is Reading Police Chief Peter Hansen. We have Terry on the line. Terry, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing? How you doing, Chief?
Very good.
Question I got, I actually have two questions, but I wanted to make a quick point, and that is we could have been citing these folks all along, according to what you're saying. We could have done it all along, and I know I'd asked Chief Paletti why it is okay that people can sit with a black bag and drink beer in front of the police station. He said because really there wasn't any place to put them, we couldn't do anything with them. And now all of a sudden it seems as if we do have a place. But my first question is, you made the comment that you wanted to put a wee amount of money in to help staff the DA's office. Where did this money now come from? We just had a measure, and we've had the city council saying we have no money, yet we're going to now try to find additional money for staffing for the DA's office. That's question one. Where is that coming from? Question two, the probation department is probably going to get a little bit overwhelmed. I would think that with your plan, and believe me, I'm for your plan. I think everything you're saying is very good. But the probation department obviously is going to need additional staffing also, because I would think they're probably going to get a big load in of people. The third question I've got is what law enforcement agencies did you or did the sheriff have to sign a memorandum of understanding with to have come in? I have noticed that there are some federal folks in town that we have fish and game people, law enforcement driving around. Did the sheriff set up an MOU with those folks? So those are my three questions. It's just interesting how all of a sudden it's like the sun came out, and for years we couldn't do anything. But I'm really curious as to where you're going to get all this extra money. So I'll take my answer. Actually, I'd like to hear the answer.
Terry, very good question. So the funding for what I'm proposing will come from Assembly Bill 109, which passed about 6 or 7 years ago. And that, when they started to offload people out of state prison, the bill actually allowed for the transfer of funds from the Department of Corrections to local communities, including probation departments and county law enforcement and district attorneys and so on. So the funding is there. It's under state law AB 109. So that's where the funding comes from, and this funding is transferred from the state to the local entity. So this community corrections program was set up to determine how best to utilize that funding. So that's where the money comes from. But that is a board that votes and decides on the budget and how best to spend that money. So
the Board of Supervisors?
No, it's a separate board made up of the Reading Police Chief, the Sheriff, the Chief Probation Officer, the District Attorney, the Public Defender. There's a representative from the courts, and there's one more. I think it's what used to be called Social Services, but it's
this is the CCPD.
Right.
Care.
So that board just determines how best to spend that money and how it's to be allocated amongst the different agencies and programs. So, for example, there's a substantial amount of money already going to the probation department. There's substantial funds going to the sheriff's office for work programs and jails. So that's where the money is at. And so I'm not suggesting additional funds for law enforcement. What I'm going to suggest is that the current budget be looked at and possibly some reallocations made to shift some of the existing funding to the public defender's office and to the district attorney's office to provide more support. You are correct in what you said about won't it cause a logjam down the road. That may be true. But once we determine where the next logjam is, then we need to direct our attention at the next area. So in reference to your last question regarding federal law enforcement, I'm not aware of a formal MOU with federal law enforcement. I don't think there's going to be any federal law enforcement participating with us in our next operation. It's just going to be local entities. If you're seeing a federal law enforcement agent or officer in town, it's by coincidence not related to what our program is.
They're probably looking for you, Terry. Hello?
No, I didn't hear you. What was that?
They're probably just looking for you. So, the feds. So,
it isn't that. I know that, that Tom has signed an MOU with some agencies to get some help. I know he has.
Well, that's a good idea.
That.
Okay. All right, Terry. Thanks.
Thank you.
You bet. This is not, all the things are going on. It's not to say is that our police department over the last years has been arresting people by the hundreds. I mean, their arrest rates, they're just huge. Unfortunately, what was happening to them, they were turned loose as fast, or they were given citations, and the city council and the city manager and the last one, there's just no sense of urgency about doing anything. It was woe is me.
Well, the criminal justice
system. But yet our police, that thin blue line are out there every day trying to get this stuff done. And nothing happened after that.
It is a system. So law enforcement, street officers, deputy sheriffs, Anderson Police, Reading Police, we feed the system. And then it has to go through this process, district attorney, public defender, court,
right,
jail, probation. It's a long system. And anywhere along the line, that system breaks down and there's no link. Then you get the log jam and stuff starts falling out. And what we've been experiencing is that our officers have been issuing citations, have been making arrests, and then nothing happens. The consequence is not there.
The support's not there.
So it's a small step we're trying to take to add consequence to what's going on. It's certainly not to suggest that nothing was being done before, because that's way far from the truth.
Absolutely. And, this thing, and again, I just, for the good of our city and our county, I want this to work. Everybody wants this to work. And I think, if what people were looking for, Pete, was a plan. It could be a simple plan. Hey, we're going to do this. These three steps right here.
Right.
If that, if people had come out with that, everybody would have gone, ah.
If you look back at our history, we had a significant gang problem with gangsters coming here from Sacramento and Oakland and places like that. Chief Blankenship hit this head on. We had a year where we were having shootings on Hilltop Drive and murders and things. We hit this head on. We formed a gang task force. We worked with other entities, agencies, and took these guys head on. We got the DA and the public defender and the courts and everyone involved to really help us address this problem by hitting it head on. We had a problem with parolees in this community. We took it head on. Ultimately, Chief Blankenship had to go to Sacramento to change the law to quit the dumping of parolees in outside communities statewide. Chief Modi, we had a problem with gang members and parolees and probationers. So he formed the SAGE unit, which is a cooperative effort by all the law enforcement agencies.
Is that still working?
It's no one has the resources to commit to it. So there have been times in the past when we have drawn together resources from many different agencies. It's been very successful, and that's what we're doing now on a small scale. So, and that's what we're going to continue to do.
Well, one of the things that I've said and many others have said is let's take some of that money, pay the overtime it's going to take, and do just what you're saying. Just go after them. You know, head on, address the problem, push them, keep pushing until it's all, it's solved. And at least, and like I said, we go back to the fact is now there's a plan and people can get behind the plan.
And we believe that will send a message to those people in the community who are supportive of law enforcement, those businesses that are trying to get their businesses going or bring new businesses in, that we are listening and we're trying to address this. But we also think it's going to send a message to those other people who are not here for good purposes that, you know, something's going to be done. You are going to be held accountable. But it's a start. It's a first step.
Okay. One of the questions that have come in is kind of shifting. Are we finished with this one? Because we're going to shift gears a little bit.
Sure.
The amount of money that it takes for the police to cover sporting events, like Cool April Nights. Is this being paid for out of our budget, or is this being paid for by the people that put these things on?
A combination of both. The city, again, I'm putting my thinking cap on and trying to remember, the city had a special event fund.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, the Freedom Festival, and the funds would come out of the special event fund. The hosts or the people putting on those events would help contribute to that fund, but the bulk of it was coming from the city to pay for all the services that might be needed for a large special event,
okay,
like police and fire and the departments that handle roads, that handle streets, barricades, and cones. So I'm assuming that's still the case, but I don't know for sure. But the entities that are putting that on would contribute back, and really the biggest benefit for Cool April Nights and some of those events is not for what it does for the city government, but what it does for the local community in terms of supporting charitable organizations. And Cool April Nights is a great example. A lot of their proceeds go to support community programs, which that's the biggest benefit we see out of those kind of special events.
Okay. That's what somebody said, that there's like $45,000 spent on that, but it's in a budget apart. I guess we haven't reached the point yet. We really got to take a good look at if that $45,000 could be used for overtime to push.
Well, where do you get the best benefit? You know, I think that when you're serving a community as large as Reading, 90,000 and another 20 or 30,000 come in to watch the Freedom Festival, you know, I think we need to support that too, because it brings a positive view of our city. It's a positive event for everyone here, and we're not just focusing on the 2 or 3% negative.
That's a good idea. Maybe we should take it out of the advertising fund then. And, you know, that we're handing, you know, is that what you're saying? That we take, you know, part of that $1.8 million that's given to advertising Reading and let them kind of support the good things that are happening and bring in thousands of people?
I think there's a lot of good things happening here, but there really are.
I
don't want people to dwell. You know, if you start looking for the negative, that's all you're going to see.
Yeah, well,
Reading is a great city. There's a lot of good things happening here. This is just a great place to live. We raised our children here. We had very good experiences with the school systems here and the recreational opportunities. Reading is a great city, and you have to start realizing we have some problems that we need to address as a whole, community and law enforcement and the city as a whole. But we also need to say, hey, this is a great town.
So I know of a couple great houses here that are available, so you can move back. This is a great town. Oh, that's not going to happen. Okay. All right, Pete. I love it because Pete Anson does not get an expression on his face like that.
I don't.
I know. Okay. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages.
Oh, tribute band, bringing you the great music and legendary sound of the Doobie Brothers. Join us Friday, September 8th at 7:30 p.m. as Wind River Resort and Casino welcomes Doobie Rock, the music of the Doobie Brothers, live in the Event Center with all the amazing vocals and driving beat of the Doobie Brothers music. Doobie Rock, the music of the Doobie Brothers, is a show you will not want to miss, performing their greatest hits. So get ready to go rocking down the highway and listen to the music of Doobie Rock, recreating the harmonies of the Doobie Brothers and performing their classic music with unique spot-on vocals. A must-see show. Purchase your tickets now at the River Club or WindRiver.com. Tickets for this event are just $12.50 each or a table of 10 for $100. Don't miss your chance to see Doobie Rock, the music of the Doobie Brothers, in concert at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center Friday, September 8th. A good time will be had by all. Must be 21 to attend. Download the Wind River app on Google Play or the Apple Store. Concerts are better, better at the River.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it. Powerhouse Solar does it all, but not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie-cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today, and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
Call Powerhouse Solar at 275-5600 or visit them on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
What are you in the mood for dinner tonight? How about a Jack's Grill world-famous steak, a fork tender filet mignon, a hot and juicy New York steak or brochet of beef, cooked to perfection and so tender you can cut it with a smile? Maybe deep-fried prawns or golden fried chicken, all served with garlic bread, hot baked potato or french fries, and a large family-style bowl of tossed green salad with homemade dressing of your choice. Are you in the mood? Meet friends and family at Jack's Grill, a Reading landmark since 1938. Open Monday through Saturday on California Street, downtown Reading.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
See all good people turn their heads each day so satisfied. I'm on my...
Sorry about that. I'm playing the wrong song, sir.
Oh, that's okay. It's music.
I'm fired.
It's music. No, no, you're not. Your punishment is another year here. firing you would let you off too easy. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, our last segment here on August the 9th, 2017. Wednesday, it's 78 degrees, going up to 102 today. The weather report is always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Family-owned, veteran-owned business in Anderson. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call at 365-3793. And our guest is Interim Police Chief Peter Hansen of Reading. And I would like to do a huge, huge shout-out for birthdays, for Karen Bozeman. And Karen Bozeman is like a member of my family. She's like the eccentric sister that comes in, and you love her to pieces, but you never know what she's going to do next. And I mean that in a positive sense. She'll come in with – she gave me a – have you seen one of those huge bottles of tequila, and it's in like – looks like a rifle? You've seen those, right? I got one. I got that. I needed that. And then, of course, Michelle Dean – of she and her husband Bruce, of course, have Black Bear Diner, but good friends. So a big, big, big birthday shout out to Karen Bozeman and Michelle Dean. And Linda called in from the mountains and said if I didn't say it, she was going to hurt me. And I just want to put this out in front of the police chief, is that if you find me bleeding, you won't find me bleeding in the street now because I've done it. Anyway, Karen and Michelle, happy, happy birthday. You all are great, great people.
Linda would be the one to blame, but it might be justified depending well, on, you know.
I got a feeling that it would be come out justified somehow as I'm laying there. Hey, there's another stupid rumor that Stephanie Bridget is anti-gun. It is absolutely not true. I know this for a fact. This is not true. So don't be saying things like that.
Can we talk about another rumor?
Okay. Oh, yeah, this is the big rumor.
Oh, there was a sign to that.
This is the big rumor.
I've been asked several times whether or not Redding is a sanctuary city. It is not. Shasta County is not a sanctuary county. And this is critical for us in terms of when we apply for federal grants. But actually, the other day, it appeared on a website that Redding was part of a list.
I saw that.
I actually contacted the author of that article. He responded back very quickly, said that Redding is going to be removed from that list. But I assured him that Redding was not a sanctuary city and that when appropriate, we will cooperate fully with federal law enforcement agencies regardless of what their primary mission is.
And regardless of what California – what happens, though, if California says you as a city can no longer do this?
I don't know.
I don't think that they can do that, can they? They cannot say not to obey a federal law.
I don't know what happens in Sacramento. It's really hard to figure out sometimes.
Well, it depends on what kind of weed they're smoking down there.
And depends on how the legislation is written and whether or not it gets challenged. And
well, Brown's saying it's not. They're not going to be sanctuary cities and all this. But it sounded like it.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's healthy for us as a society to pick and choose what laws we're going to obey.
It isn't.
Because if a particular administration in Washington says we're not going to do this, that's a policy issue. But when a city or a state or a county says we're not going to follow federal law, well, why should your citizens follow county law or follow city laws or follow state laws?
Why follow any laws?
Exactly.
How do you enforce a law that the state says, oh, no, you can't enforce that law? Well, of course we can.
Yeah.
I tell you, if Trump wanted to, and people don't realize this, if he really wanted to, he could crack down on this on the marijuana.
He could.
He could confiscate buildings. Right. He could take the money. He could arrest people if he wanted to.
And so, you know, my view is that if I'm using federal funds for law enforcement purposes and we're a sanctuary city and not cooperating with federal law enforcement, I could see where the feds could withhold that money.
However,
I don't see how the feds could say, you know, we're going to withhold your highway funds because you're not cooperating with federal law enforcement. Because I don't see any nexus between federal highway funds and federal law enforcement. But there is a direct nexus when you're talking about working with other law enforcement agencies and what we're doing. So, and again, I think that's the approach that the Attorney General is taking, is they're going to focus on federal law enforcement funds to support our community. And we have been very much a beneficiary of federal funds over the years. In fact, we're applying for a federal grant right now under the COPS program to help fund our neighborhood police unit moving for the next 3 or 4 years. And so it's critical that the federal government and the community understand that we're not a sanctuary city and that we are actually pursuing some of these federal funds to help us at the local level.
A caller says that Tom Basenko, and I don't know if this is true.
Allegedly, the statement was made on this show. I don't recall that.
I don't remember that Shasta is a sanctuary county. I don't remember him saying that.
I don't think so.
But I'm not even sure. Because sometimes people say things, but it's in context.
It's on the list of the article
it
I
is
read.
On
it's
the
on
list.
That list. And
it
I'm,
is.
I'm positive it's not. I mean, I had lunch with Supervisor Modi the other day, and we didn't talk about this specific issue, but we've talked about it before.
Well, I think one of the things was why didn't the county come out and say we are not a sanctuary county? They had a chance to write a letter and they chose not to.
I don't know,
just before you came here about, you know, when the state was talking about becoming, you know, sanctuary state, why the county didn't write a letter or something, and they chose not to write a letter. They wrote something else. Anyway.
Yeah, but here's the complicated part. What if the state decides to withhold some of their funding for some of our program if you're not following the state directive?
Yeah.
And then the locals, what a surprise, were caught in the middle between some potential funding sources.
Two top cops for the price of one. Hey, Tom.
Hey, good morning, Bob and Carl.
Yeah.
No, I did not say that the county is a sanctuary city. As the chief said, we did show up in that article, but to confirm, Shasta County is not a sanctuary county. We fully cooperate with our federal partners, and we'll let them know and communicate with them on issues that involve us.
Well, that's what I thought, and I don't know where the caller got this, because, and he said he heard it on our show, but I didn't ever remember you saying that we were.
Yeah, so, no.
Okay. Well, that cleared that up. So, thanks.
All right. Have a good morning.
Thanks,
Sheriff.
You bet.
He listens all the time.
You
should take the time to listen here, too. Then you can see everything that's going on.
We had a circumstance last night where officers make a traffic stop. The person's not licensed, determined to have a gun in the car, methamphetamine in the car. So he's a dangerous individual. Undocumented, notified ICE, and, so we're working with
federal. Do they have to be in that category, guns, so it's dangerous before ICE comes? Or do you call ICE a lot of times and they just don't show up?
No, I think it's a notification process that occurs when someone's booked into the county jail.
Now, that person wasn't released then.
He was not. He was booked into jail.
Because of the felonies and all this.
Well, and ICE has the authority, whether or not they choose to act on it or not, they have the authority to put an immigration hold on that person. What the county jail determines to do with that person is the county's decision, whether to release him or keep him or that sort
of thing. What if ICE wants to keep him? Will the county keep him there?
You'd have to ask the sheriff.
Wow.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, Sheriff, you're going to be on next week, so we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
You'll be on next Wednesday.
Yeah.
Pete, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For coming in today. A lot of information out there. And everybody, kind of keep your eyes peeled, because it should be, whenever this thing starts, it should be easy to see, I imagine. As you see people running down the street screaming and, police right behind them and dogs. You know what? I can't help but love that sight, Everybody, have a great day. Tomorrow, Trish comes on with us. We're going to have Baron Browning from Anderson. Maybe we can get the chief on down there to see what he's doing with on his side of it. Everybody, have a great day.
News brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. President Trump vows there will never be a time when the United States is not the most powerful nation on earth, but hopefully we'll never have to use this power. The president's tweet comes as the North Korea threat intensifies. Mitchell Manis lives on Guam, mentioned by Pyongyang as a possible target.
Past administrations have just let it slide and kicked the can down the road. So now North Korea feels like they can get away with anything.
He spoke with KUAM-TV. America's top diplomat says we have nothing to fear from North Korea.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is urging calm.
Americans should sleep well at night, have no